And here we are, March 31st. We are finishing the book of Hebrews tonight. And nothing really much to this. There's one major, major point, but the rest of it is just Paul's final words to the Jews. And again, I believe without a shadow of a doubt to me that this whole book of Hebrews fits right in Acts chapter 9, right when Paul says to them that then was Saul certain days of the disciples, which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. I believe this is where that fits in. And then knowing at the end of this thing, but all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent? Paul increased more in strength, proving that this is the very Christ, again, which is what Hebrews is all about. And then, of course, and after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. So obviously this was not a well-received message, but it is a message today. It is a bunch of words and chapters in a book today that seems to be used by the pastors to kind of push a loss of security, eternal security, to teach about angels. I see in our obituaries every week in our community paper here that there's always somebody that went off to be with their angel or to be an angel or whatever. So they pull that out of here. We get in here the whole chastening thing we talked about this morning, that God will chasten everybody if they don't stay on the right path. And if you're not being chastened, then you're not of God, kind of a thing. And then tonight we look at Paul's just final words. You know, he says here, let brotherly love continue. The Jews were supposedly good at brotherly love. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. So here you have something can happen in your life. Some little person can come along and do a good thing for you or something or whatever, you know. And you have been entertained, you have been visited by an angel because you never saw that person again. And there's a bunch of stories like that. Oh, this, that, I hate the word dad, like that. And, you know, some doctor was working on somebody, and suddenly there was a doctor standing next to them and told them how to do the job a little better or something or whatever, and then that was an angel that came to visit that doctor. We hear those kind of stories all the time. Well, again, I have no doubt that the devil knows how to use these scriptures as he does these signs and wonders. And, of course, that would be a wonder if an angel came along and blessed you. Only comes from Hebrews. Then he says in verse 3, remember them that are in bonds. That's a total tribulation situation. We have people today that are in bonds. Of course we do for being a Christian. Unfortunately, most of the people that are in bonds because they're dying for baptism or they're dying for being stupid on the street or they're dying for something that wasn't supposed to be dying for. And yes, we have people in foreign countries that are being persecuted by China and stuff, but most of these are not preaching the truth at all. They're great commission of people. They're mainstream religions. It's just a mess. So Paul says during this tribulational time, during these tough times, remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Well, we understand that we have different folks here. We are all suffering in different ways and having our challenges in our life, and we're with you. We're each one of us there is with you, with each one of us there to wish we could help and be there to give us the strength anyway. Some can write checks. Some can be there for fellowship. Some can be there to guide them through it. Some can be there just to listen to them. So, sure, there's application to this, but what he's talking about here are the Jews that are being persecuted during this tribulation. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Well, again, we look at Paul's teachings about the law. All things are lawful. Now, it's not the right thing. It's not edifying. It's occasion for the flesh, no doubt. And it's a power over us that there's no doubt about it. It will still burn in the judgment seat of Christ. But is somebody going to be singled out for specific sin? Hey, Salty, you're back. Is somebody going to be sorted out for the whoremongering and adultering? God will judge. God's taking care of that. If people could just realize that the worst of all sins, the person who's actual putting their faith in the risen Savior, as taught by Paul, then it's all been taken care of. And the things that they continue to do or choose to do, as they choose to follow their flesh, the sin that's in the flesh, then that will burn in the judgment seat of Christ. And that's hard for some people to take. It just is. And, you know, you got people who are divorced. You have people who were caught messing around or something. Well, you know, that's what Christ took care of. Everything. Even that stuff. So God, it's not there to judge anymore. It will be done as a work, judgment seat of Christ. But your soul, and we've heard me say, like you said this morning, it's just repetition, it's review. So he says, let your conversation be without covetousness. That's our day-to-day life, conversation, be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. Well, I wish we could be that way. We're not very good at that. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Well, that's true. We know he will never leave us or forsake us. But in this case, during the tribulation, yes, these people can leave the Lord. They can cancel their faith. They can shut their whole thing. They can be done to them. They can toss it away. They can take the mark and never get it back. So, yes, he will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. But see, just there's a difference here. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Again, tribulational conversation, because they are going to be treated horribly during the tribulation. So now, during this time, here we go. Here's one of the two verses that I think the pastors just claimed today to put the guilt over the people. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. So here we see an illustration or a verse that's telling these people, listen, these people who rule over you, speak the word of God, the pastors for such, you follow their faith. Again, it's their faith we're talking about. Now, we are to follow Paul's faith. We receive Paul's faith. But is it the faith of Paul? No, Paul's faith is the faith of Jesus Christ. So when we follow Paul's faith, we are following the faith of Jesus Christ. So this isn't a verse. Now this isn't as bad as verse 17. We'll get to that one in a minute. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Now, this is where people say, well, see, why would Christ change to the Gentiles? Why would, what's so hard about dispensational? I mean, God even himself changed what he said to Abraham with compared to what he said to Noah and Adam and Eve. It's still Jesus Christ. It's still God. It's still the Trinity. He's still the Jews. We know that the New Testament doesn't begin until the death of the testator. We know that Christ went on with the way of God through Paul more perfectly. Jesus taught the way of God. Paul is teaching the way of God more perfectly. Is Jesus changing? No. Is God changing? No. God just paid the price. He paid the penalty. And he took care of that sin. Did God change? No. He still hates all that stuff, all the stuff that's written, that's still God. But he took care of it. People don't get that. They just don't understand that. We have an altar, again, Jewish, whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. What does this have to do with Gentiles today? Nothing. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Yes, you know, that's fine, that's true. Let us go therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Okay, that's true, but it's not talking to us. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Oh, when to come yet, huh? By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Those are sacrifices today, if we do good and to communicate of these things. Is that considered a sacrifice that we're doing? This is Jewish talk here, totally Jewish talk. Here's verse 17. This is the kicker, another big clincher here. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. Now, this is going to be review. It's like Jeanette said this morning, this is review. And then I think it was Sam who said, but this is how we learn things, repetition, or somebody said that. For they watch for your souls. See, me as a pastor or a preacher, teacher, or whatever I am at this point, whatever I was at one point, sure, I was concerned about somebody's soul, that they be not following a false religion, that they not be caught up with the Antichrist teaching, a false gospel. I was concerned about their souls from that standpoint. But if anybody makes their profession of faith through Jesus Christ, Ephesians 1:12, the risen Savior as taught by Paul, King James Bible, I really wasn't worried about their soul. I mean, that's just, I know what Christ did for their soul. I know they've been separated from their flesh. I realize all that. And so I'm not worried about their soul. I'm not watching for their soul. I'm watching for the judgment seat of Christ, time in court. I'm trying to show them that this is if you follow what Paul taught, your judgment seat of Christ will be easier as such. That's the next thing that we have happening in our life. Well, we're going to die, right, after this, the judgment. Well, seems to me that the judgment seat of Christ is what's going to follow. It makes kind of sense to me. It's got to. In order for us to be face-to-face with him, he's got to take care of our works as well. But our soul, we're fine. As they that must give account. I don't have to give account to a person's soul. That's Christ's job. That's what he does. That they may do it with joy and not with grief. So here's the pastor's guilt trip today. Back to verse 7. Hey, I've got the rule over you, and I've spoken into the word of God, so you follow what I say. I have the rule over you, so submit yourselves to me, for I'm concerned about your soul. And I must give account for what I've done for your soul, so make sure that you are a joyful Christian, because I want to make sure I can do it joyfully and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. So if you want to have a good time with your judgment, you better make sure that you listen to me. That's pastoral authority. That's pastoral popeness. That's what that is. Well, it'll take place during the tribulation, but it doesn't take place now. Oh, if I could tell you how much I have even followed along these lines. Nobody taught me anything different about this. This is just the pastor. He's been to Bible school. He knows this Bible more than I do. And if I submit myself to him, he will take care of my wife and my family and my kids, and he's got the right church, and he'll do the right thing. And I got to make sure that, as they must give account, that they may do it with joy, make sure that he's having a good time and in joyful doing it, because I don't want to cause him grief, because if I cause him grief, it's going to cause me grief. And there's that whole guilt trip. Massive. Been there, done that. Been there, followed that. Been there, taught that. It's baloney. Absolute baloney. Now, I'll be the first to admit, it's frustrating to preach what a person preaches and teach what a person teaches out of rightly dividing, and you still see the church people sitting there doing the same old thing. Fathers doing the same old fathering, mothers doing the same old mothering, husbands and wives doing the same old thing, women not changing, men not changing, talking like they are, amening and all that stuff in Bible studies and go, rah, rah, but then not just anything change. Yeah, that is pretty tough. That is pretty irritating. But, you know, I can't pull these two verses on them anyway. You know, I think I need to do it just in case somebody will listen to this in another day, not you folks, but somebody else is out there. So what does Paul say about stuff like this, about these people that are preaching to you? He says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, here's what Paul says regarding these pastors or these people that are teaching you the rightly divided King James Bible. Here's how you look at it. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12. This is the answer back to Hebrews 7, 13, 7, and 17. This is what Paul says. Beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Then he finishes it up with, and be at peace among yourselves. You know, don't fight with a guy. Just, I mean, there's the stuff. Whatever. So anyway, not to talk more about that, but that's the response to this stuff for today. Verse 18, Paul says to these Jewish people, pray for us. And yet when he's done, they're going to try to kill him. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. See, good walking people. But I beseech you, the rather, to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Remember, they knew who Paul was, and now they want to see this. Paul's going to change his lifestyle, his manner of life, and these people are going to see this. Now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, there's Paul's message to the Jews again, that great shepherd of the sheep, that's Jewish flavored to the max, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, that's again Jewish talk, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. That's Jewish talk to the max. And Paul's winding his little sermon up to these people. And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation. Allow, you know, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in few words. You know, hear this stuff, you guys, hear this stuff. I beseech you. Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty. So these people were in bondage, and if they would trust the risen Savior, the Messiah, they also would be set at liberty as Timothy was, with whom, if he comes shortly, I will see you. Here it is again. Salute all them that have the rule over you and all the saints. Then he finishes, they of Italy salute you. Grace be with you all. Amen. And then they try to kill him. It's a lot like what Stephen gave him this big sermon, and then boom, they kill him. Well, they didn't get away with Paul. So this Hebrews thing is just so being misused today. And I said it to you once before, I'll say it again here. There was a time I was driving around in Yakima, Washington by myself, and I heard this pastor say, we're going to go back and we're going to study the book of Hebrews, the radio evangelist guy, in a church, and we are going to turn our lives around. Well, yeah, because you're going to scare them to death that if they don't do what you say, God will get them for it. And he's going to do it through Hebrews. He wasn't a right divine guy at all. I remember that part of it. So there's the stuff. There's the angels. There's the pastoral guilt trips. There's the chastisement. There's eternal security being gone. There is a Christian, there are people living on their faith. It's all tribulation. It's all Jews. It isn't to us at all. And I believe, like I said, it was under shadow of, I believe anyway, that this whole thing was given during Acts chapter 9, and later on it was written down by Timothy, which I got to think, you know what? When we get done to this thing of which we are now, let's take a look at Timothy. Not the book Timothy, but let's look at the guy Timothy. Let's take a little look at him next time we get together here. Because it says there at the end, know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom I will see you. So with whom, if you come shortly, I will see you. So Timothy and Paul, who are set at liberty, are going to talk to the Jews. Well, it must be when Timothy, anyway. So let's just, now Wednesday night, Mark's going to do Easter, Ishtar, or whatever. So you want some facts on that thing, there's the place to be. And then next Sunday, if all goes well, I still have my women to finish up on. Women series, maybe one or two more sermons there, talks, put them all together. So I should have put a call at my I Hate Women series. And then let's look at Timothy. and let's just see what we can find. Maybe Timothy and Lucius and Jason, Sosipater. Paul had some help people that helped him. He really did. You've got Silvanus, whatever. You've got Silas. What do we got here? Yeah. And these guys helped out Paul quite a bit, matter of fact. And Paul preached to these guys quite a bit, and he taught them quite a bit. And they did quite a bit for Paul. So that's it. I mean, that's quick. That's like 15 minutes, I suppose, or whatever. But that's chapter 13. That ought to wrap up Hebrews. Now, next time you read through your Bible, like LD, for example, out there. LD, you listen to this eventually. You've been through this thing about 55, 56. Maybe by now it's about 60 times, you know. You have a pretty good idea, I know, when you read it, about rightly dividing. But don't let yourself just enjoy Hebrews, because it's what Paul told to the Jews. And then after that, they tried to kill him. It all settles in so understandably. It is not a complicated Bible to follow. It's not a complicated Bible to learn. It's not even complicated to understand. So, surprise, surprise, surprise. There's your evening. And I will try to get caught up on emails tonight and tomorrow, because I have no school.